I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
People will always come and go in our lives, but we all know those few who never left, because they always leave you with so much more. The ones who make you stronger, build you up when you're broken down, the partners who've always had you covered. At Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, we know what it means to be covered by someone you look up to, even when they're sitting right beside you. To be covered by someone guiding you through more than just the routine. To be covered by that friend you consider the best, because that's how they make you feel. At Blue Cross, we know what it means to be there, guiding you toward a healthier state of mind. Because the more we know as individuals, the healthier we all feel as a community through it all.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
This segment is brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by U.S. Water Heating Solutions. They service any type, tank, tankless, or boiler system for homes and businesses.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Mike Florio is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, and joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, where do you want to start with our breakdown of what that NFL draft was? The accomplishment technologically, Mike, the production. I was frankly impressed that it went off the way it did. The numbers absolutely popped, just off the charts. Viewership, and I was dubious whether or not it was the right thing to do, but I watched almost every damn minute of it.
Here's the thing. There's an old Eddie Murphy bit, and I will skip over some of the details because, number one, I don't remember them exactly, but number two, they also probably are details that we should not repeat on an FCC-regulated radio station. But the bottom line was, he says that if you give a starving man a cracker, he's going to think it's the best damn cracker he's ever eaten in his entire life. And I think we need to remember the context and the circumstances of this draft. We were all starving and would have gladly gobbled up a crappy old saltine, no matter how stale or moldy it may have been. So we were ready for anything. And just because the planets aligned in a way that was very good for the NFL, even though it was very bad for everyone else on the planet, that doesn't mean that this is some new normal that's going to make the drafts compelling moving forward. We could do the exact same format next year, and if we're at a time when people can go about their normal lives again, and I hope to God we are, we may watch it and say, this is horrible. The numbers are never going to be what they were. We're never going to be as anxious for the draft as we've been, because there's always going to be something else happening in the sports world that will otherwise occupy our attention. So I just think This was a one-time event. The NFL should not factor these ratings into future comparisons because it is an aberration. It's an aberration that worked out to the NFL's benefit, and we're happy with what we saw because we saw something other than Joe the Tiger King. So I think that's the bottom line. We were starving, we got a cracker, and we loved it.
I have to tell you, I was dismayed by, for lack of a better term, some of the tragedy porn that was going on, where every player, it seemed, I looked at him like, you know what? I don't need to hear about his dad died and his brother died and then his mother fell out of a helicopter and this other mother was addicted to morphine. And it's like, what was that going on? And it seemed concentrated in players of color for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, but it should have been something they used last year in Nashville because it basically was the lyrics to country songs. And it was depressing, right? And
I'm only laughing mordantly. I don't mean that it's actually funny.
But I think part of it is because we were so focused on this draft that something that has been hiding in plain sight for years was finally noticed because it was only the ESPN coverage. The NFL Network feed was dead because they couldn't pull it together under the circumstances of the pandemic, and it just seemed odd. And it was like there was never even a beat taken between the statistics that were relevant, the information that was pertinent to the player, and this weird right turn that was added in gratuitously. He ran the 40 in 4.5 seconds. He had 17 sacks last year, and his dog was once run over by a car. I mean, it was all just kind of matter of fact. And I know the goal is to humanize the player, but in doing it, the network comes off as inhuman. And they, to their credit, told Peter King they're going to self-scout. They're going to maybe get away from this Debbie Downer vibe in the future. And that's good. I like the fact that ESPN recognizes that this isn't the best look, and it does come off as incredibly unfeeling. The effort to be feeling and caring comes off as robotic. And I think if there's a way that you can make it relevant, and I made the point when I wrote about it, like if the kid picked Purdue over Alabama because his dad went to Purdue and it was his dad's dying wish that his son follow him to Purdue, then that's pertinent in that context. But just because there's been some personal hardship that many of us have faced at some point before we were 21 years old, that has no independent relevance to the player. There has to be some connection to his football career to make it worth noting.
Those of us who cover the league for our living or as part of our living certainly got a gift from that Green Bay Packers first-round pick, did we not?
Oh, yeah, and it's funny because you got a lot of Packers fans that are jamming their fingers in their ears and yelling, "I'm not listening," when they recognize or should recognize that something is amiss here. When the Packers trade up four spots to get Jordan Love, and then on the next day when they start drafting players who will be conducive to a more effective running game, and the GM of the team comes out and says publicly that Matt LaFleur, the second-year coach of the team, wants everything to go through the running game, that is a slap in the face of Aaron Rodgers. It puts him on notice that there is an expiration date on his career in Green Bay. It adds awkwardness and tension to an already apparently awkward and tense relationship in Green Bay. And look, here's how simple it is. The Packers were 13-3 last year. They were one drive away from being the number one seed, a drive in a game that didn't even affect them. It was the Seahawks 49ers game. If the Seahawks score a touchdown late in that last game of the season, the regular season, the Packers are the one seed. But they went out to Santa Clara and they got steamrolled by a team that has a great running game. Elaborate, detailed, creative, effective. And that's what the Packers want now. If we can't beat them, join them. So instead of beefing up the run defense or making their passing offense better, Matt LaFleur is trying to duplicate what the 49ers have, which is a great run game. And when you have the opposing defense on its heels because the ball is being crammed down its throat on the ground, that opens up the passing game. And by the time they have all the pieces in place to make it happen, Aaron Rodgers will be playing for someone else. The Bears, the Vikings, the Jets, the Buccaneers, who the hell knows? But I think it's 2 years maximum that Rodgers has left in Green Bay.
So you just say the Bears because you know to whom you're talking right now. You don't have any actual insider knowledge past frivolous speculation,
no,
right?
But 2008, when the Packers knew damn well what they were doing, when they went to Brett Favre in February and said, we want to know what you're going to do this year. We want to know right now. They knew damn well when they posed that question to him in February what he was going to say. They wanted him to go. They got him to say, I retire. They barricaded the door with furniture. I think they drafted three quarterbacks that year. And they had Aaron Rodgers ready to go. And then Favre came back. And what did he want to do? He wanted to stick it to the Packers. He wanted to play for the Vikings, the Bears, or the Lions. And he ultimately got his wish by way of 1 year with the New York Jets. So Rodgers, I think, is going to want to do the same thing. Look, based on everything we've seen and heard about Aaron Rodgers over the past 15 years, do we not believe he is, number one, pissed off, and number two, already plotting his revenge against the Packers? And it's in his interest to get Jordan Love up to speed. You know, ordinarily you'd say, oh, he's not going to take this kid under his wing. Well, he should, because the sooner Jordan Love is ready, the sooner that Aaron Rodgers can be traded somewhere else. And, you know, the Packers may do exactly what they did 12 years ago with Favre. Trade him out of the conference. Hope like hell he doesn't resurface in Chicago, Minnesota, or Detroit. And then we all sit back and wait and see how the last couple of years of Aaron Rodgers' career go. I think it's fascinating. It's high drama. And the Packers either went into this knowing this was going to happen or understanding it possibly could and not caring.
Talking with Mike Florio on Sports Radio 670 The Score. While we're talking about quarterbacking drama, we have some details now into Jameis Winston's one-year contract with the Saints. He gets a signing bonus of $148,000, base salary of $952,000, a $1.76 million set of playing incentives, $1.8 million playoff playing time incentives, a $40,000 Pro Bowl incentives. So it's a max with incentives of $4.7 million. And this was after we heard Taysom Hill sort of vaingloriously describe himself as a potential franchise quarterback. What are they trying to accomplish here?
Well, the Saints still view Taysom Hill as their future franchise quarterback. But here's the thing. As long as Drew Brees is the starter, you need a veteran backup who can step in and be the game day replacement for Drew Brees, the week in and week out Teddy Bridgewater from last year. Because if you pivot to Taysom Hill when Brees is injured, you have to put in the Taysom Hill offense. And that requires, number one, a lot of hard work by the coaching staff to pivot the offense to Taysom Hill. And you got 10 other guys on the field who all of a sudden have to forget about the base offense, run the Taysom Hill offense, and be ready to shift back to the base offense when Drew Brees is ready to go. So they needed a replacement for Teddy Bridgewater. I was shouting this out loud back in March. Jameis Winston is the answer. Jameis Winston is the answer once Teddy left for Carolina. He's that guy who can be the Drew Brees backup. And then next year, Taysom Hill takes over and they concoct an offense for him, have a backup that is conducive to running that offense, and they may have that in Tommy Stevens, a guy they drafted in round 7 who's got a lot of the Taysom Hill qualities. But that's why they did it. It's a win-win, and if Winston gets a chance to play this year, and if Sean Payton can fix Jameis Winston, I mean, look at what happened with Teddy Bridgewater. 3 years, $66 million from the Carolina Panthers, all based on going 5-0 last year while Drew Brees was injured.
We got some news from the NCAA today as well, where it looks like that football players and basketball players are going to be allowed to make money from third-party endorsements and or their likenesses and appearances. It's a major step. I wonder what you think the effect is going to be on the NFL and on the business if players are at least semi-professional in college.
I think that it just moves the college game closer to dropping the facade that this is all about an extension of the university experience and recognizing that these guys are cogs in a billion-dollar machine. And look, they're going to be dangerously close to having to make that admission if they move heaven and earth to get college football played at a time when there isn't college. I mean, how can you have college football without college? And I think that's one of the reasons why so many university presidents and athletic directors are plotting the opening of campuses, because you can't have college football without the campuses open. But we're just moving toward that ultimate reckoning. And they have somehow managed for years now, for decades now, to continue to get the rest of us to suspend disbelief about what's really going on. These kids are being exploited. Oh, they're getting an education. Well, it's an education that a lot of them don't want. A lot of them are going to the college football programs because that's the only way to get to the NFL. That's their minor league. That's their training ground. They have to spend 3 years doing something other than playing professional football. They can't go straight to the draft, so this is where they go. So that's what I think this all is. It's an effort, ultimately, to delay the reckoning, but it's still another step toward what eventually will happen, which is the model is going to get blown up and they got to pay these kids fair value, because what's happening now is they are generating so much money and everybody connected to the sport is making money off of it except the guys who we all pay to watch.
Lastly, before we let you go, what is the latest you're hearing as far as the realpolitik of any NFL reopening? I know the stuff that we hear publicly and all of their optimism and everything that was going on with the draft made it sound like, oh, there's going to be football. But obviously, they have to understand the scientific and medical realities may continue to delay and prevent it. What's the latest?
Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci hit the nail on the head in his comments to the New York Times, and those dovetail with comments that NFLPA Executive Director Demore Smith made last Wednesday on a Zoom video conference with 10 to 12 members of the media. And I don't think his comments got much traction because it was all right on the front end of the draft. But I've still got my notes, and I went back and looked at them last night before I saw Fauci's comments. Here's the bottom line. We are going to need to play football, to allow players and coaches into that petri dish that is the locker room on a regular basis. You're going to have testing, regular testing. Unless you quarantine all of the teams, you're going to have testing every time someone shows up for work. And the results have to be instantaneous. Because once one person walks into that locker room with the virus, it is going to spread like wildfire. So, assuming that we need to have extensive and regular testing of everyone who walks into Hallis Hall and the other 31 NFL facilities, how do you reconcile that with the fact that there isn't enough testing for all the communities where the NFL does business, for the nation at large? How do you let pro football hog all the tests? All the tests are going to be necessary to do business on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Every day that people show up to work, you're going to have to test them before they walk in. Is the technology there, first of all, to do it quickly and easily and not have that extra long Q-tip jammed all the way into the back of your throat, which the videos of that is horrifying, or are they going to be able to turn it around quickly? And is it going to be available to everyone? And these are practical impediments. You know, every answer that I come up with leads to more questions, and every answer to those questions leads to more questions. And I hope to hell somebody a lot smarter than me is identifying the questions, answering the questions, and then answering the questions that arise from every answer that you have. And it's an endless loop. It's the dog chasing its tail at times, but I don't want to be pessimistic. I want to be realistic. But at this point, as we are closing in on May 1, I don't know that it's optimism that is justified when we consider all the hurdles that still have to be overcome, especially when the root question is effective testing at a time when there isn't effective testing for the rest of the communities.
And anybody who's been listening to this show since 9 o'clock remembers the first half hour when this sounds exactly like the baseball conversation that we had regarding their latest plan. So it's certainly having all these things in common. I feel exactly the same way whenever we hear something like this. Mike, we appreciate your time. Continued good health.
All right, you too, pal. See you.
That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. We've got the latest information on what's going on with the Chicago Blackhawks. It's been a strange 36 hours with the firing of John McDonough and what we're learning about the new power of Danny Wirtz and what the new structure might be, whose jobs could be in the balance right here. I know Jay Zawoski, our Blackhawks reporter and podcaster, has been working the phones. I've been talking to some people too. So Jay's going to open up a mic and we're going to break some of this down and look at what the Blackhawks business structure may look like going forward. That is all coming up next on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence Holmes here. Being live and local with 670 The Score is more important than ever. So as America adjusts to the new work-at-home environment, trust us to keep you informed, entertained, and perhaps have a laugh or two along the way. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com and stream The Score live from your smart speaker instantly. 670 The Score is live and local, a radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. Jameis Winston does not have a track record of maturity. crab legs, suspended in college, coming off the bench to push a player on the Saints, suspended for 3 NFL games for groping an Uber driver, and of course, asking his teammates to lick their fingers, you know, to eat a W. But this could be a turning point after a billion interceptions last season and being the third option for his existing team of the offseason behind Brady and Bridgewater. Jameis has signed a deal to become Breeze's backup in New Orleans. Smart. If he can bide his time, he can step into a great situation and put his career back on track. A step out of the limelight for better times ahead. Now that's a W to nibble on. This is Damon Amendolara.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with, so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
If you need a new appliance now, The Home Depot has the appliance help you can count on. Download the Home Depot app or visit homedepot.com to search for savings on top brands like Samsung. With ratings and reviews to give you confidence, special buy savings, and free delivery, you'll get the appliances you need without even leaving home. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Continental U.S. only.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, that's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doctor's Log, Hell Date 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my Doctor's Log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen, radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Well, certainly, John McDonough is a demanding boss. I mean, everybody grumbles about their boss, but the things that people say about McDonough again, the heavy-handedness. It's easy to get away with that when you're winning Stanley Cups every other year. It's a little harder when you haven't made the playoffs in 3 years and you haven't won a playoff series in 5 years.
That was Mark Lazarus on this show yesterday. He of The Athletic talking about the ouster of John McDonough as the president and CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks. And as the dust has been settling there, we've all been making phone calls and saying, what happened? And trying to do some forensic work in figuring out how the Hawks got to the point where they felt that was a move that they had to make. And Jay Zawoski covers the Blackhawks for Sports Radio 670 The Score. And he is, Jay, before we get to you, I know that you've got some new information here. I just want to let people know that I did get an answer to the question of, did the pause of the pandemic have something to do with this? And I'm told, yeah, that frankly, it did. That the fact that there wasn't as much going on, the fact that they had an opportunity to let it breathe a little bit and to give some organizational introspection did lead them to think that this was a good time to do something like this. But I know there's a lot more happening to that generalization.
Yes, for sure. And I found out yesterday, too, that like basic Blackhawks staffers were just dropping off like crazy. They couldn't keep anyone in the building because working for McDonough was so difficult that it was just a constant rotation of employees. And that's, you know, there's something to be said for that 20, 30 years ago, but that's just not how young, smart people operate these days. And I know some people want to push against that and say, oh, back in my day, we just did what our boss said. Well, that's not how it works anymore. And if the Hawks want to be an up-and-coming, you know, and a sustainably good franchise, they need bright young minds, and they need to be in a place that nurtures that and encourages that, not pushes against it. So I think that was definitely a factor.
Were people leaving, or were people just not coming? I mean, those are different things. People are like, I can't take this anymore. Or was it a reputation thing where some of the sharper minds in the business, the word got out that you don't want to work there?
Probably a little bit of both, but I heard the turnover was just incredible. Like 20 or 30 people over the last few years, just in and out, in and out, in and out at different levels of the organization. And a lot of those because of the work environment there. That's not great. And like you mentioned, Dan, this does give organizations the opportunity to slow down, take a deep breath. They're forced to do it because you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything and sort of reflect on, okay, why have things been going the way they've been going for us over the last 2-3 years? And, you know, maybe Rocky's talking to his son Danny about things, and it's been documented over the last couple days that Danny Wirtz and John McDonough did not see eye to eye on many things. And with Danny in his ear, maybe that convinced Rocky, or that was enough for Rocky to make up his mind on something he'd been thinking about for a while.
So if Danny is interim president, let's play this out. Does this mean that the new structure will be a Cubs-like structure where you have a Crane Kenny as the president of business operations, a Theo Epstein, who's president of baseball/hockey operations here, and they try to exist in separate worlds that don't interfere with each other and ideally can work symbiotically?
That's where it seems to be headed. And now we have to qualify everything we're talking about here with the fact that this just happened. This move just happened and they're in the infant stages. But from conversations I heard that I've had, that seems to be the direction we're headed. It seems to be the logical way most organizations are headed right now. So you mentioned the Crane Kenny, Theo Epstein dynamic, which is ideal because Crane Kenny just handles Gallagher Way and concerts and those sort of things, while Theo can focus on the baseball stuff. And if Crane Kenny wants to leak over to the baseball side and suggest a few things, Theo Epstein has the personality and he has the reputation where he can say, no, screw you. Go back to your office. I've got the baseball thing. You do your thing, and we got it. We got it over here. And that's why I think it's very important that the Hawks, if they do choose to use this model that the Cubs and a lot of other teams use, the hockey guy has to be a strong personality. It can't be someone who's passive. And that's why maybe some people would think that Stan Bowman could be a good idea for this job, but is he going to have the nerve and the attitude to say, No, you do not interfere here. Because what we found out over the last couple days is Stan Bowman was not fully given power. He had to run things by John McDonough and his right-hand man, Al McIsaac. So Stan was not working completely under what he wanted to do. He had to get approval on a lot of things. And if even if they elevate Stan Bowman to a higher position as whatever, president of hockey operations or whatever they want to call it, is he going to have the personality to tell whoever the marketing person is, back off, stay away, let me do my thing? That's the question.
Well, how had it gotten with McDonough then? Was there mission creep going on as far as you know? Because I heard some rumblings that he, despite the fact that when he took the job, he's like, yeah, I don't know anything about hockey, I'm not really involved in the hockey, that it ended up becoming a little more nebulous than that, than made people comfortable over time.
Yeah, a couple sources yesterday indicated that over the last few years, John McDonough had become more involved in hockey decisions. I was told that it was his call to elevate Adam Boqvist to the NHL team. I don't know if that was a marketing situation. I don't know if it was a performance situation, but I was told that John McDonough was huge in that decision and basically made it on his own. I'm told there were trades made that were planned to be made that were nixed by John McDonough. Also, I found out yesterday that several times Stan Bowman would approach Al McIsaac, who is, I just said, John McDonough's right-hand man. His title is Senior VP of Hockey Operations. You may have seen him. He looks like Champ from Anchorman. That Stan Bowman So Stan Bowman would go to Al McIsaac and say, here's my idea for a trade or a system or whatever. And Al would say, okay, yeah, I'll run it by John. Or, no, you know what? John's not going to like that. He's not going to like that. So, no, just forget it. So Bowman was not, from what I'm told, Bowman was not able to do the things he wanted to do. And that could maybe explain why it seems Stan Bowman has lost his mind over the last 4 years. Because whether you love the idea of Stan Bowman or hated him, he was doing a fine job while they were winning. And then when they started losing, all the moves, there's no direction. It's, okay, we've got these good young players, but let's trade for Andrew Shaw and trade for... Like, there's just no logic to the moves they were making. So that indicates to me some sort of interference. So from what I understood, years ago, John was pretty hands-off. Obviously, if they're going to make a huge trade, some sort of franchise-altering move, he would have to sign off on it. That's how it should be, right? But it started as the years went on and as the playoff appearances started fading away, John got more and more involved. And that right-hand man to his, Al McIsaac, I know they sit side where they did before John was let go. Their offices were right next to each other. And those two were, McIsaac was sort of his lieutenant. And he would report everything back to McDonough. So I wonder how that dynamic's going to work now with McDonough gone.
That's a major red flag when you have a diffusion of vision. When you have a gatekeeper like that, where the general manager has to come not even to the president, but to the VP, and then he can sort of function as a filter, that's dysfunctional, frankly. I mean, if we're going to be fair here, that's not the way I want my sports team operating.
No, and look, if you want to have someone over Stan Bowman or whoever your next GM is to work together, like, we Cubs fans have faith in Jed Hoyer, but we understand that it's most likely that Jed doesn't make a move without Theo being part of it, but they're not working against each other. They're working with each other. They've got the same mindset. That's the thing. That's what's important. It feels like with the McDonough, McIsaac, Bowman dynamic, there weren't only two varying opinions. There were three varying opinions. And the guy whose job it is to make those decisions, Stan Bowman, was maybe the least empowered of the three. And that's a recipe for disaster. How can Stan Bowman succeed in that sort of an atmosphere? That's impossible. And meanwhile, if you ask 100 Hawks fans who's to blame for things with the Blackhawks right now, 98 of them are going to tell you Stan Bowman. And now with the information we've learned over the last few days, is that fair? I don't think that's fair.
If there is a candidate for that Crane Kenny job, being the top business person, is that going to be Danny Wirtz, or are there others in the Blackhawks organization that are cut from that kind of cloth?
based on conversations I had yesterday, I don't think it's going to be Danny Wirtz. I think they are looking to hire a business side of things. They're Crane Kenny sort of a person. There's two internal names I was told. The name Pete Hassan, who is their current vice president of marketing. He's been with the team for 15 years. Highly visible. If you're ever at the Hawks convention or walking around a game, Pete Hassan's always there. He's like 6'6", tall, good-looking guy, slick back hair. But he's been involved with the organization forever. And their VP of Human Resources, Marie Cetera, is another name I was told. But that name, Pete Hassan, I heard three times over the last like 18 hours or so. So that's a guy who is skyrocketing up the organization and would be a good fit, I think, just based on what I know about him and his tenure with the Hawks. He would be a good fit for that business side. And I don't think he doesn't have the sort of personality that would meddle in the hockey operation side of things.
Everybody wants to bring up the name Eddie Olczyk because he's Eddie Olczyk, and he's been this ubiquitous hockey presence, you know, obviously the national level analyst and here all the time. And I get it. I know there are teams that have always talked about him. He's, you know, his coaching stint in Pittsburgh was not great, but he has had it expressed an interest in maybe getting back, not just doing it from the broadcast pulpit. What's real regarding either side of it, either the Hawks' interest in him, his interest in the Hawks? I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think he'd have to be open to at least talking about something.
Well, I'm sure he's open to it because over the last 16 months, Eddie Olczyk has talked to at least four NHL teams about high hockey operations positions, including the Philadelphia Flyers. They ended up filling that position internally, but Eddie O has been talking to teams with the permission of the Blackhawks. So it's very safe to assume that if the Hawks did decide to go this way and have a hockey ops czar, Eddie Olczyk would be extremely interested in that job. I don't know if he wants to be a GM. I don't know if he wants to do the daily grind of that sort of a thing. But as a general overseer of the hockey philosophy, I do believe Eddie Olczyk would be highly, highly interested in that job.
I wonder, too, as we talked to Mark Lazarus yesterday about the whole quant side of this thing and whether it's the cap and or the metrics that everybody in hockey agrees matter more than ever with all the measurements and the ability to understand some of these things. Is Eddie open to that stuff, or is it just lip service kind of thing, the way the Bulls have been where, yeah, we'll have a guy for that?
Well, Eddie doesn't even pay it lip service. Eddie just sort of, he'll sort of openly laugh about advanced statistics and things like that. That's the question for me. I want a guy who's at least open-minded to it. It doesn't have to be, I don't need like a math team running my hockey team. I get that there's something to the human element, you know, being able to see how a guy plays under pressure. Those things are tough to measure. On baseball, it's easier, but on the ice surface, it's hard to tell, right? Without watching a player play and talking to a player and knowing what makes him tick. Eddie Olczyk would be good at that, but if he's going to get the job, I wouldn't like it unless the GM he brought in was a dynamic numbers guy so they can work in tandem and combine their expertise to make the best possible thing. I do not want another, this guy shows grit and hustle, and he's going to... No, I don't want that. I want information to build my hockey team. And look, I do believe, like I just said, in the old school style of scouting, but it's got to be complemented by a numbers guy, a really good numbers guy or girl. It doesn't have to be a guy, of course. That to me would be, if it's going to be Eddie O at the top, I need a numbers guy in there to have that angle covered, because I don't want to set the organization back 10, 15 years scouting-wise. You know what I'm saying? I want that numbers guy to have influence on the team.
That was all really good stuff.
Yeah, Jay, for me, that's the question with Eddie. Is he willing to have a guy who will do that?
Me too. Whether or not, if he's the ultimate decision maker, if it's something that he's going to consider when it comes to evaluating players, because that's the direction that the league is going right now. When even the Toronto Maple Leafs can figure that they need to get on top of some of that stuff, it tells you where things are headed. Now, if you're a Blackhawks fan, go ahead.
Sorry to jump in. What they have is Brendan Shanahan at the top, and Kyle Dubas is the numbers guy. He's their GM, and they work together. And Shanahan has trust, and they use the numbers guy to do what he does. and that's how they build the team. That to me is ideal. You want to have both kinds of minds, you know, when you're building a team. And I think that Shanahan, I always forget if it's Dubas or Dibas, in Toronto, that's a good dynamic they have working there.
And obviously, as we learn more, as this develops, this is the place where you're going to get all the latest information. If you're a hockey fan, you're going to want to make sure that you stick around here with us, because we're finding out things about your Blackhawks and talking about them when the events warrant, as they do now. Stop talking hockey, Bernstein. Well, guess what? We are going to talk about the Midday Midway coming up next. I have a pretty pathetic reptile misidentification that occurred, and we haven't talked about this at all, but what in holy hell is going on in North Korea? It's incredible to me, the information and the discrepancies between some of these news reports that are going on. So I have some of them here, and I want to figure out some of the stuff, because it's funny, but it's not funny, because potentially we're talking about, like, loose nuclear weapons and chemical weapons in some sort of power vacuum, and not knowing the way our own country even relates to them anymore with all the diplomats sidelined. So it is serious stuff, but some of it is just farcical right now. We have to get into that, and we'll play Know Your Reptiles. It's the Midday Midway next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
The Bears made Jalen Johnson their pick, and he joins us now.
Would you describe yourself as a physical cornerback?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like that's something that every corner has to have in their game. I definitely like to switch it up as well, and also being able to play using my feet more so than my hands, but definitely physical is something that I bring.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Doctor's Log, Helldate 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today. And listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We're talking to Mark Grace here. Can I ask, like, what is your side of the story? Because I was actually at the game in 01 when you were with the Diamondbacks, and you came back and you played at Wrigley, and there was a huge standing ovation for you. There was never really an issue with Mark Grace and Cubs fans, so I...
I don't really understand
what happened between you and the organization.
Let's just put it this way. When we're younger, we all think we're probably better than we actually are or something like that. I just know this, that after 13 years of playing with the Chicago Cubs, I wanted to be a Cub for life. I wanted to be a Cub for life, and unfortunately for me, you know, I'm not the one making that decision.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We started out talking about MLB's reopening plan. They seem very, very optimistic for some reasons that are not really all that comfortable, as we heard John Heyman explain it, because we played his comments to the Mully and Haw show. Apparently, everybody in MLB, these officials, are like, well, states are reopening. Yeah, but you know, they're kind of not supposed to be, and it's really not safe. And every time a state decides, hey, come on out and play, it's all good. Generally, people are responding like, yeah, no, we're not, because it's not all good. And then the people in charge of estimating the number of deaths keep erasing numbers and writing in much, much higher numbers in their projections for these areas that are now just inviting next waves of it. So if that's the reason for the optimism, I don't think I can share that with MLB. There is some medical optimism affecting the markets today, with remdesivir perhaps showing that with a 5-day treatment it can help some of the severe cases. But the vaccines are in trial, and when all these sports, when they decide to come back, it's going to be because where people are vaccinated or people are protected with some sort of antibody patch injection that is also being tested right now. That, and very little that we do, is going to be what determines when we get our beloved sports back. Matt Miller weighed in on the entirety of the Bears draft, their undrafted free agent signings, etc. Mike Florio was on fire today as well. And then Jay Zawoski and I talked about what we've been learning in the last couple days about what has rocked the Blackhawks front office. Wildlife officials in New York State responded to sightings of a suspected alligator. The president of the Goose Hill Neighborhood Association said she was at Steinmetz Park in Schenectady, and she spotted a large animal in the pond and initially thought it was a tree branch. She then changed her mind when neighborhood residents started contacting her to report an alligator lurking in the pond. So, the Schenectady Police Department said officers responded to the pond to look for the suspected alligator, and they erected a camera pole near the edge of the pond. So, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation said later, on Monday, officers had investigated, and they determined that the creature in the pond was an unusually large snapping turtle. Well, they describe it, it's not really unusually large. They said it's a large common snapping turtle with a 16-inch carapace shell just below the surface of the water, which could have been mistaken as an alligator swimming. No, it can't. It just can't. Alligators have a distinct look and way of swimming. And most grade schoolers can easily tell the difference between an alligator and a turtle. So now, of course, some neighborhood residents say they believe the animal they spotted was not a snapping turtle, and they insist there is another reptile lurking in the pond. And the DEC said officers didn't find any tracks or any other signs of another animal in the water. So, of course, after what we went through in Humboldt Park with poor alligator Bob and his kayak and our self-appointed alligator guru, who eventually had to be supplanted by an actual alligator expert who was brought in from Florida to handle everything. Maybe Alligator Bob should be put on the case. And this is my favorite part. This is the kicker here. Officials said the turtle will be left undisturbed in the pond for the time being. It lives there. Why would you disturb it? Where do you think snapping turtles live? They're fine. They're not bothering you. Snapping turtles are awesome creatures, by the way, because they're prehistoric. Alligator snappers are really cool too, but those are rare. Although there was a school in Chicago that was breeding baby alligator snappers and sending them back down into the Mississippi River Delta, because those things are like 100 years old and 200 pounds or whatever they are. Though the alligator snappers are the ones when the catfish noodlers, the hand grabbers, when they reach into the holes to try to get these big flathead catfish, and you reach in there and you accidentally are in the hole of an alligator snapper, which has a head the size of a 16-inch softball, then you come out with missing digits. That's why somebody like former Astros pitcher Roy Oswalt had to put in his contract, don't do that anymore, because you lose fingers that way. Very kind that the turtle will be left undisturbed in the pond for the time being. The other thing, too, is they're awesome to eat, man. That it's a big thing in rural Pennsylvania that they set up milk jugs, empty plastic milk jugs with a chain underneath and a treble hook and some meat on there. And then they go and they check all their hooks the next day for snapping turtles. And I think Andrew Zimmer did an episode of this on Bizarre Foods. But that's good eating, man. That's the one thing when you're in New Orleans, and do not miss any place's proprietary turtle soup, because that is an absolute thing. Okay. What's going on in North Korea? Because over the weekend, we woke up to news, like actual news agencies reporting that Kim Jong-un had died. They said he died, there was a botched heart surgery, and his sister was taking over, and he was dead. And then there's some statement from some government entity that said, no, he's not dead. He's alive and he's well and he's doing a series of jumping jacks. So there's still conflicting reports. The Irish Sun had a story where they're showing satellite photos where it says North Korea is building large parade structures amid reports that Kim Jong-un has died. They're showing temporary buildings commonly used for military parades being installed in Pyongyang. And there are reports that the country's in the grip of a coronavirus outbreak, meaning a mass military parade, would seem unlikely. And they think the parade could be for the leader's funeral, because in 2011, when Kim Jong-il died, they had the same temporary structures in the same places for the same kind of state funeral. So then I look at the USA Today. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un could be trying to avoid exposure to the coronavirus, according to a top South Korean official, that his absence from public events, including a celebration honoring his grandfather, has fueled speculation he may be in ill health. Though Kim has disappeared from the public eye for lengthy stretches in the past, many wondered if something was seriously wrong after he missed the April 15th holiday on the birth date of Kim Il-sung, the country's founder, known as the Day of the Sun, one of the grandest featuring military parades, fireworks, public dances. But they say some traditional holiday events have been canceled in response to the pandemic, and that his absence may not be particularly unusual. So they say that they've been worried about his health because of how he lives his life. He apparently is a glutton and an alcoholic and a chain smoker, from various reports, and that there were always reasons to be worried about his health. So you think, okay, great. The story is amazing in today's day and age just because of how isolated they can still be when this tiny little world that we live in is so incredibly interconnected. With just a couple keystrokes, we can see whatever we want and know anything we want to know with the sum total of the world's intelligence all available to us. And we don't know. Nobody seems to know. So I was reading an article today that
not only do we not know, our old ways of knowing have been dismantled, that the intelligence gathering system that was in place to operate at medium and medium high levels to determine what was going on there now doesn't exist anymore, because now it's just executive to executive. So we used to have some way we thought we could know stuff, and we don't. The other part of it is the risks. And this is when it got a little scary, reading about if in fact there is coronavirus there, and if in fact there are further food shortages, what an actual refugee crisis would begin to look like in neighboring countries if millions of people decide that they have to overrun the barriers and leave and outflow from there. Then you've got what could be warring factions. If there is a leadership vacuum at the top of the country, you could have military factions versus executive, royal family factions fighting over, I don't know, nuclear weapons, missiles, chemical weapons, etc. So that's no fun in all this stuff. But I think it's amazing that even where we are, that there's this much mystery and this much unknown about whether or not a world leader is actually alive or dead. Because the memes that were generated when people said, oh yeah, botched heart surgery and he's dead, and they said, no, he's fine. I'm not old enough to remember why the Saturday Night Live jokes in the early days, the Chevy Chase jokes, it was a Generalissimo Francisco Franco, the Spanish fascist general, I believe, and they kept joking that he's still dead because their administration for years kept insisting he was alive when he wasn't alive. And I the jokes had to be explained to me, but now I think I kind of get it, because this may be our generation's Generalissimo in this case. And that is the Midday Midway. We do it most days around this time. Here's what's coming up in the last hour of the show. In just a few minutes, Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic, who's done the definitive piece on Mark Eversley, the Bulls general manager, about his history, his story, frankly, where he comes from and how he's gotten to this point. Darnell is going to join us next. After that, I want to replay some things that Isaiah Thomas said on our Detroit sister station a couple of days ago, and just react to what I'm trying to unwind now with the benefit of some distance from what has been depicted in The Last Dance. And then at 11:40, a guy you've seen plenty of in The Last Dance, hanging around in the background with us in the reporting pool, Bruce Levine, to talk about this baseball plan that may or may not be realistic, and his thoughts on what he's been seeing on Sunday nights, seeing himself. All of that coming your way and more. Darnell Mayberry is next on The Score.
Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
Omaha steaks are the most tender, most flavorful steaks you've ever had. And that's what you should be cooking if you are doing what a lot of us are doing, and that's cooking more at home. We're getting to grilling season, and Omaha Steaks is open. They got four locations in Chicago, and you can do curbside pickup in Schaumburg, Naperville, Oak Brook, and Orland Park. There's a special deal going right now if you want to stock up. Any purchase of $49 or more will now include 8 free quarter-pound Omaha Steaks burgers if you mention that Dan Bernstein sent you. That's 2 free pounds of meat at Omaha Steak. You call ahead, you place your order, your steak expert will have it ready when you arrive, with all purchases backed by their unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Omaha Steaks is a fifth-generation, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in selling perfectly aged beef, hand-cut by master butchers in the heartland of America. So these are the four locations: Schaumburg, Naperville, Oak Brook, and Orland Park. All purchases of $49 or more include 8 free quarter-pound Omaha Steaks burgers. The way you get this is when you call, you tell them Dan Bernstein sent you.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need.
Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 866-575-BLUE or visit hereforyouil.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Jason Goff, postgame host of Bulls basketball.
The humanization of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan has been presented to us in a very polished, market-conscious, brand-conscious for a long time. In the first 2 hours, you heard Michael Jordan talk like a human and have human interactions. And before Michael Jordan became Michael Jordan, which is somebody gets immense fame and immense fortune, two country dudes with a dream. Like, that's what I got from it in the Michael